Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Julia, for sharing with us what God has done in your life, and that you have really brought us into that same experience as well. Really praise the Lord that that there's an event like that, and that you have a heart to go there. Right about this time, 2 weeks ago, the five of us were preparing to get on a plane to go to Cambodia. And meanwhile, at my own home, we had prepared the kids already for the idea that, you know, Dad won't be home for about 10 days during the Christmas break. And then so before departing, you know, we did our thing before these long trips. You know, we went out to eat somewhere, you know, somewhere in Flushing, I guess, you know. And then plans were made for them to kind of keep themselves busy. And for those 10 days that they would do, you know, shopping at Riverhead, they would do this, they would go to a water park, they would go to this restaurant. And I'm thinking, you know, all this without me, right? You know, and so in my mind, you know, I'm thinking that my trip to Cambodia would look like something like this. All right, that this is a picture from last time. I figure, okay, you know, it's cold here, but it's gonna be 88 or 90 degrees out there. I'm gonna find that same spot. And I'm just going to take in this experience of being in Cambodia. But instead, this is really what happened last week, okay? as you know, the blizzard came and really changed up everything. And so as my family was preparing, and we were all mentally prepared for this trip, for me to go, and the church family, you as well, were ready for us to go, right? So when you saw us on Sunday, you're wondering, you know, what are you still doing here, you know? And then the Sunday after that, you know, how come you didn't go yet, you know? And so, you know, we had a commissioning service here where you came up to lay hands on us. We're part of the whole prayer, you know, to be totally used by God, okay? And we had prepared the luggage, mostly by Elder Bill and Emily, of gathering all the stuff and having their house as a platform, a staging ground. We had the supplies ready. We had all the candies that people donated. The community center kids, you know, gave us a bag of things that we packed in there, ready to go to kids over there for their outreach. And so beyond us, there were also the extended spiritual family in Poipet that were prepared for us to go. You know, we had talked about having a regional youth leader seminar. And then there was a marriage seminar, one-day seminar that we were prepared to present and have all these communication exercises ready for them. So we, as a team and as a church, and also for them as well, we were pumped up, we were prepared to go, we were ready, and then, of course, from a delayed flight to a flight cancellation to the airport being closed, I mean, so you can imagine the big letdown after you have planned something that was noble, well-intentioned, and yet such a big disappointing setback. And this was, after all, for ministry. This wasn't a vacation plan that was changed. This is for the Lord. You know, why couldn't God just allow this short-term mission trip that, with all the plans and preparation, just to kind of take off? You know, let me just hold off the blizzard a little bit, you know? And let's take off. It's for your kingdom, God. That's what I'm thinking. And of all the times that New York City is crippled transportationally, it has to happen now? You know, it just doesn't make sense. Now, these are some of the childish thoughts that kind of went through my head, you know, as I was thinking about that at home. I mean, Julia made it out. How come we can't make it out? You know, how come our missions team couldn't get out? You know, it was just like that much. You know, our flight was 12 o'clock. And then this is such a waste of time and energy of trying to rebook and staying on the phone for hours and all that stuff that you know, Elder Bill and other people have gone through to try to adapt and find another solution to this. And all the communication going back and forth to our missionary contact, Suit. And during this time of being snowed in, you know, I had the opportunity to look into God's word. And I found in God's word, you know, Acts chapter 16, verse, I'll bring you there. But in Acts 16, we find really another missions team that were looking to do something good in the name of Jesus, but then their plans also had some setbacks. They made their preparations, they had plans, And the Apostle Paul had always wanted to preach the gospel and bring the gospel to this land, to this place called Asia Minor. All right? And his plane never took off either. So he really tried to get into Asia Minor, which is north. Because he wanted to bring the gospel to a place where it was new, where the people there never heard of the gospel before. Very noble purpose, well-intended. And to him, you know, Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, by the way, is really the other side of the world, outside of the Roman Empire, outside of his world. And so he had this great mission trip set up, and he planned it, and let us read what happened to his mission trip. Okay, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at a very short passage, verse 6, going down to verse 10 of Acts chapter 16, subtitled Paul's Vision of the Man of Macedonia. Verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Taurus. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I ask that you would join me in prayer as we look into this word. Father, lead us, Lord, through your word, that we would be found as a people of faith that would honor you, that your people that you call your very own would have such a level of trust in your sovereignty that, Lord, your name would be honored by that. That all the angels, even the demons, and especially the world that is watching us, those that don't know you, that are observing our behavior and our faith in you, Lord, let your name be honored by the level of faith and trust that we have in you. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would use me. You will prepare us to be given, Lord, grace to hear this word today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me just say with one disclaimer before I get into this, comparing, you know, our missions team to Cambodia with Paul's second missionary journey is kind of comparing apples to oranges. Let me just state that out there. Because obviously Paul, we read in the scriptures, you know, he went through, you know, real life-threatening danger. You know, there were riots that wanted to physically abuse him. He went through shipwrecks, and you know, for us, you know, we, you know, our dangers was maybe drinking the wrong water, you know, in Poipet, or maybe some plane delays. So it's apples and oranges, okay? But with that being said, there are some similarities, especially when it comes to understanding God's sovereignty. Because we read here that Paul was, you know, he was totally pumped up for this trip himself. You know, but right off the start, you know, things didn't go as smoothly as he wanted to. In the previous chapter, in chapter 15, we find that before they set off to this short-term mission trip, that they had a big argument at church. And then they were talking about, like, you know, who should be on these missions teams. You know, Barnabas wanted to take someone that Paul had objected to because he didn't really have the right chemistry. And to make a long story short, they made two separate trips, and the church commissioned both of them to go forward. And so our passage begins with the words that says, Paul and his companions traveled. And then we come to those names of places, which mean basically very little to us. Why? Well, because, you know, they're not there anymore. They don't call that name of that place anymore. So we read this passage this morning, and we know where Greece is. We know where Turkey is. But then, you know, where is Phrygia? I mean, where is Galatia? I mean, does it mean anything to us when we read, you know, the border of Mysia? So what I have here is a map that can kind of help us see what Paul sees here. All right, and I just want to describe to you a bird's eye view of what Paul was trying to do. You see, he started his journey over here, and he wanted to go north. He wanted to go to Asia Minor, this region over here, that the people there, you know, don't know about Christ, and he's so eager to bring the gospel to them. I kind of feel like a weatherman here. But anyway, so as he goes up here, he's stopped. All right, so he's thinking, okay, you know what, let me adapt. Let me come up with plan B here. And so he's trying along, and he's going around Galatia, Phrygia, okay, he's going this way, but he wants to get to north, all right? But he's going this way, and so eventually, you know, all the different doors and different options had stopped, and he ended up in this place called Taurus, okay? And Macedonia is over here, which is really Greece today. And so we see him trying to find different ways after the initial roadblock. And finally, he took the final destination, which is towards Macedonia. And what's extremely interesting here is that it wasn't Satan that stopped the gospel from being preached to people who don't know the Lord. It was not because of a lack of ministry funding that pulled them away. It was, according to our Bible, it says that the Holy Spirit had kept them away. That it was the Spirit of Jesus that prevented God's truth from reaching those people who don't know the Lord yet at that particular time. And we're not used to reading that in the Bible, right? I mean, we're used to reading, you know, page after page of go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. That's what we're used to. There are so many good deeds out there to do in this world. It is endless selection to choose from. I mean, you could be involved in prison ministries. You can do the soup kitchens uptown. You can do, serve your own church, obviously. You can always do that. You can help serve on a missions team somewhere. You can start a Bible study right at home. Or you could help plant a church somewhere. It's endless. But apparently, our passage here is telling us that God is not a God of disorder. God has a direction for your life that goes beyond making the right moral decisions. He has a calling for you that you may not fully understand right now. You know, scholars' commentaries still do not understand, you know, why God had kept the gospel from reaching Asia Minor at that particular time, in Paul's time. And we don't know exactly, you know, how did God stop them. We just read in the Bible that they weren't allowed to, you know. We don't know. It could have been like maybe a horse twisted his ankle and that delayed the trip a little bit. Maybe the wagon had a flat. I don't know. Maybe it was a visa issue at the border, you know, that the paperwork wasn't all there. We're not given that in the Bible. There's no details about that. But eventually, we come to verse 8, where it tells us, so they passed by. That's what we read in the NIV text. And in the original Greek word here, it literally means this. It says that a person moving forward. That's literally what the word means. A person moving forward. Now, how do you move forward when an unexpected blizzard of a different kind interrupts your plans? You know, perhaps you and I, you know, we have plans that are maybe bigger than short-term missions trip that are 10 days long. Maybe we have dreams for us. Maybe we have dreams for our children. Maybe we have a certain set of goals that we want to accomplish in life. But then God allows you to fall off that track. Somehow God's sovereignty prevents you from reaching those plans that you had. And sometimes your intentions are good, just like Paul, you know, who wanted to do ministry up north. And our missions team, you know, just wanted to bring gifts to them, those kids in Cambodia during the Christmas season. That's all we wanted to do. You know, naturally, all of us would like to have our lives to have a certain preferred track. You know, we have a plan A in mind, don't we? You know, plan A could include, but not limited to, maybe, you know, getting married. Maybe perhaps starting a family someday. Or maybe one day to save enough to have a down payment for a house of your own. Or maybe to build up their career to a certain level where you feel you're satisfied, that you've accomplished something. Or maybe our plan A is to finally, you know, recover from a medical condition. Or maybe to beat some type of disease, chronic problem. Dreams of growing old with your spouse. Or maybe to go into retirement, you know, in health and wealth and grandchildren surrounding you, living nearby. Maybe that's some of our dreams. And those dreams are not bad. You know, it's what we naturally all want. But the Spirit of Jesus may not allow you to continue on that track. And if that happens, then what then? How will you adjust when the Holy Spirit is leading you to another track? How can you be this person that is moving forward and growing in your trust in the Lord? You know, like our recent snowstorm threw everything off its tracks and all our plans out the window. There are times in life when you just don't know why, you know, God has done certain things. And let me just suggest to you how you can move forward. And move forward not to get back on track with your plans, but to get back on a track that God wants you to have. All right, in your bulletin, there's a couple of suggestions that are in there. You can follow along with me. But this is how you can move forward as a child of God with faith. One is obviously accept his perfect sovereignty. You know, when news came to us that we cannot rebook our flights until 4 or 5 days later on, you know, I finally had to have a conversation with Suit, our missionary contact, and to let him know that this entire trip, we're not going to be late. It has to be canceled. The entire trip has to be canceled. And before that, you know, we thought about, you know, going out to fly out a little bit later. You know, we try to make this trip still happen because so many things have happened to prepare for us. So our trip kind of looked like this before we had to cancel it. It looked like this where we were going to fly out late, a couple days late, but fine, let's get out of JFK. And then we would stay overnight at a hotel in Japan because we would have missed our connecting flight. And so one overnight at Japan. And then we would go to Bangkok. After we get to Bangkok, we would drive for 4 hours to the Cambodian border, but it would have been closed by then because it closes at 7 p.m. And so we have to stay another night at one of those casino hotels there. And so it's two nights of hotel and probably, I don't know how many hours of travel. And then the next day when the border opens up, we would go early in the morning and we would just start right off with the presentation with the seminar that we were at planned. And so that was our last working plan. And then the doors obviously closed, shut completely. And so finally we had to accept that that's just the way it was going to be. So I said to Suit, you know, who was praying for us, I told him, listen, we really tried, but God has different plans this time around. And accepting his sovereignty is different than resignation. You see, resignation means that you have genuinely just given up hope. Resignation may lead to indifference, where you're saying to yourself, I don't care anymore. You know, I am uncertain if God is honored by resignation. But acceptance of his sovereignty is something different. It's not the same as resignation. Acceptance is giving up on yourself, but still have hope in God. You see, this is where you have gone as far as you can take it, and then the rest of the way, you're going to have to let it go and let God be God. Another suggestion to moving forward is to develop a heightened sensitivity to the Spirit. You know, during the blizzard, I don't know what you did, but during the blizzard, I watched a lot of TV, I guess. I watched HGTV, all right? I don't know. Who watches HGTV, by the way, besides a few of us? Okay, so you know the shows like When Not to Wear, the bridal dress one. Anyway, so So I watched HGTV and a whole lot of it. I watched the TLC, all right? There you go, thank you. All right, and then I surfed the web for news, you know, any kind of late-breaking news of something that's happening, you know. And so for like 2 days, you know, I was just waiting around, you know, just waiting around, you know, the whole time to see if this trip was going to be delayed or what was going to happen, you know, sitting around. I remember looking outside my window, looking at the street, waiting for the snowplow to come, all right. And obviously it never came, but that's another story. And so the highlight of the day was really, you know, I'm ashamed to admit this, we're just hanging around to see if Harvest Buffet was open that day or not. I mean, unlike me, Paul was being still before the Lord during this unexpected delay. He was making himself sensitive to the Holy Spirit of what God might do, you know, during his time at Taurus. And we find that in verse 9, it tells us that he had this vision from God. And I would have to assume that, you know, Paul was already in seeking mode. He was in listening mode when God had revealed plans for him. And we get this affirmation of the thought because we read in verse 10, it says that once he got that idea, once he got that vision from God, he got ready at once to leave. You don't get a sense of hesitation. There was no sense of confusion. You know, was that God or wasn't it God? Was that God or wasn't God? There's no confusion because he was already on, during standby, he was preparing himself to receive what the Lord might give him. That's why he was so ready to move, because he was already waiting for the Lord. And God didn't have to work hard to get his attention, did he? Because Paul was already in listening mode. You know, when we experience a roadblock in life, we can respond in several different ways. We can, I guess, panic and frustration or fear or anger and just allow our minds to go crazy. Or we can try to, you know, play the role of God by trying to solve our own problems that are certainly well beyond us, but we're going to try to solve it like we're God. And we might even try to blame people or blame circumstances of how the situation got to the way it is. But I think, you know, God will be tremendously honored that this is God is glorified if we would be still in his presence, ready to listen. I think God would be honored by that kind of faith. Don't you think that? You know, lastly, as a person moving forward, one last thing I suggest to you is to be open to experiencing unexpected fruit. You know, when Paul was stuck in Taurus, or what we would know this place as the city of Troy, he must have had one of those, you know, why God moments. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, that ever happened to you, you know, that moment in life, certain crossroad and something just happened and you're in reflection, you're a little confused, you know, why? You know, those moments where you're asking the Lord, you know, why is this happening? You know, Paul was supposed to go up north, he wanted to do that, but instead we find in verse 8 that he ends up at this place called Taurus. You know, this is like a standby time for him. And Taurus is really a place where we can often think about as that's plan B, you know? You know, Paul wanted to go north, that's his plan A, but he's in Taurus now, and that's plan B. So according to our own human thinking, this is a secondary place. This is inferior to our original plans, okay? He had to settle for plan B, so he's stuck in Taurus. You know, I'm thinking, how unfortunate, how immature it is when we think that way, especially in light of God's promise given to us that says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That when God has told us that, how immature of us if we would think that, you know what, that's a plan B. And we're not excited about that, you know, that much about it anymore. You know, how often that we've been so wrong about what is plan A and plan B. You know, I think sometimes we've got to reverse. You know, what we think is plan B is actually God's plan A, and vice versa. And so the next verse, we find that Paul has this vision, calls him towards Macedonia. And Macedonia, as you turn out, as we read, you know, if you look through the New Testament, Macedonia turns out to be a place with exceeding fruitful ministry. That God eventually shows Paul more fruitfulness than he could have ever imagined had he gone to his Asia Minor, to his plan A. And a few verses later on, we find in the same chapter, we're not going to touch there, but a few verses on, same chapter, we find that people were coming to know the Lord as Paul went to Macedonia. That there was a revival that swept across this region of Macedonia. Very fruitful churches were planted in this particular area of Macedonia. You know, we find the Philippian church, who is known to have Christ-like love, to be in this region. We find that there's a church, the Berean church, who are known for their careful research and examination of the Word of God, the Scriptures. We find that the Thessalonian church, you know, that Paul later on, you know, calls that church, this is the model church of all of Macedonia. And he even bragged about this church to the Corinthian church and say, look at those guys. They are giving beyond, they are giving sacrificially. Even when they're poor, even when they're struggling financially, they're giving. You know, all of this was unexpected to Paul. You know, when the Spirit of Jesus has prevented him, God had all these things in mind. The fruitfulness, God had that in mind. And there are some things that you cannot see now, but someday when you look back, you might just praise God for that. So let me just tell you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, be open to the fact that there is an unexpected fruit, even when there are mysterious setbacks that happen in your life. Let me just close with this. A few years ago, vacationing in the South Shore in Harvest Cedars, New Jersey, there was a guest speaker there who had shared his testimony about his children. And as it turns out, his testimony is really more about the parents more than the child itself. And he mentioned how he was the captain of the basketball team when he was in college and high school, and he was part of the All-American squad, which is, I guess, a big deal nationally at high school level. And so if you seen him, you know, he's about, you know, 6'1", all right, probably mid-50s, late-50s, all right, kind of grayed out here, but you know, just his frame, you know, he was fit. I mean, he looked really good. So you can imagine, you know, man, you know, but when he was 20-some years old, he was probably awesome, you know, physically. And so he was saying that he was you know, a very popular person, you know, being a captain and all that during high school. And his wife, who he met also in high school, was the part of the cheerleading squad, you know? And so, you know, you get this image where, you know, you got this homecoming king and homecoming queen, and they're super popular in school. You know, this is what was like a real life Ken and Barbie, you know? And there, you know, he was good looking, I'm sure, and she was gorgeous, and they had beautiful children years after that, marrying their high school sweetheart, you know? And their first child was named Abby. And then Alicia. And then they had the third one was a boy named Micah. All of them, good-looking children. He had them on a PowerPoint and everything. I was like, yeah, that, you know, good-looking family, you know. You know, one of those families you would see in a stock photo, all right, for advertisements. And then came Amanda, the youngest child. And she was born into this physically attractive family with Down syndrome. And talk about a blizzard that came out of nowhere. I mean, they had to have probably one of those, you know, why God moments. And for time's sake, you know, I'm not going to get into too much of his testimony, but I remembered what he said to towards the end of his testimony. And, you know, his daughter, youngest daughter, is 20 years old now. And she's the only one that is not married. All the other ones kind of married and have kids and everything. And he says this, and I recall how he ended his testimony. He says this. He says with the utmost sincerity, he says, "I wish every family can be blessed with their own Amanda." That if he had a choice, he says, "I would have Amanda just as she is." That through her, God had kept our family real. That we would have been such a dysfunctional family without her keeping it simple. You see, there is unexpected fruit. You just have to be open to it. Because God has given you a promise already that all things works for the good of those who love him. You're covered by that awesome promise. Just like our scripture reading this morning, his ways are higher than our ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you, Lord, even though our church is named Grace Faith Church, Lord, we humbly acknowledge before you, Lord, that we lack faith. We lack the level of trust that honors your name throughout eternity, beyond the universes that we are even aware of. Holy Spirit, would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you take us, our church, to a level of faith that is beyond what we can obtain on our own. Lord, we trust in your work and your promise to this church and to us as individuals, that, Lord, you are the one that's able to carry us to a rock that is higher than us, a level, a platform, a certain place that is beyond what the natural human being can take. Lord Jesus, will you lead us and build faith in this house, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.